above, they told me something new that's gonna tickle you. They're gonna name a holiday for everyone in love, a Jack and Jill day, when you can love your troubles away. The man in the moon is shaking a broom, he's sweeping the Milky Way. Now tell your steady to get ready for a sweetheart's holiday. The birds of the land are forming a band, and oh, what a tune they'll play. Congregating, syncopating for a sweetheart's holiday. Back up your hugs and kisses and fall into line. And be there at 7:45 moonlight saving time. So line up your car right under the stars, way out where the breezes play. And tell your steady to get ready for a sweetheart's holiday.
Question you wanted to ask him.
Yes, I was curious to know whether the producer or the A&R man, as we'd call him today, requested you to sing in any particular key with the view in mind perhaps of competing with some other singer that your record company wanted to compete with. I mentioned that Seeger Ellis had that problem in trying to compete with Gene Austin.
No, I didn't. As a matter of fact, I don't know how to state the reason for my having done so many records, other than the fact that no special arrangement was required because I could sing in the original key of the song as it was written by the writer and as published by the publishing company. And in a lot of instances, other singers had to have things transposed into the key that was suitable for their voice. But I was fortunate in having a very wide range, not too good low and not too good high, but it covered practically all of the range of all the popular songs. So for that reason, if they had something that was a little difficult, I got into that mess too a couple of times. Yeah. Once with Victor Young, with a Franz Lehár number that was a little beyond my scope, but he didn't think so, and he made me do it, and it turned out fairly well. But that's the real reason.
I see.
Smith, Rhodes asked me a question the other day when we was talking about you. And I want him to ask you now. I told him we would when you got down here. It was the circumstances surrounding the Ellington recording. He was wondering...
I was wondering why you made the... you had the vocal on the... two sides that you cut with them. I just would like to know the circumstances of how you and the Ellington band got together on that date.
Well, that's very simple. I kept a record at home of all my dates. I mean, I had calls constantly from all companies, and I never was concerned with whom they were to be with or what bands were concerned. It didn't make any difference. I just knew that I had a date on such and such a day at such and such a studio. And I simply appeared. And when I appeared at Victor that morning, of course I knew the recording master very well, I walked by Studio A and looked in, and I said, well, this can't be where I'm going to work, because it's a bunch of colored guys in there.
Mm-hmm.
Must say colored today.
Mm-hmm.
And I figured, well, they must have given me the wrong studio number. So I went up to the main office and talked to the recording master, and I said, where am I supposed to work? And he said, in Studio A, I'll take you down there.
Mm-hmm.
So we walked down there, and sure enough, that's what it was.
Yeah.
I had no idea who I was going to work with.
I see.
At the time the date was made.
What we was wondering, Smith, did your agent make arrangements with the date, probably with Irving Mills, who was managing Ellington? Is that why that...
No, Irving Mills called my house and made the date. My wife put the date in the date book.
Oh.
I was too busy at night. I was working constantly. I didn't pay any attention to who the date might be. I simply appeared at the time that I was asked to be there.
Well, we were curious about how a band would go about getting a vocalist that had never worked with the band before to cut a record with them, see?
Well, they didn't always suggest anyone in particular. Depended on the studio they were working in, and the recording master would usually say, we'll put Scrappy Lambert on this, or Smith Ballou, or somebody else.
Oh, that's how it
goes. And they'd decide that, and I would get my call, and I'd simply go.
And he'd tell Ellington that we've got Ballou coming down for the vocal.
Uh-huh, sure.
That's what we was wondering about.
Oh, that's what
would what would the arrangement be financially on that? Would you get a flat fee, or would you ride on the royalty of the record?
No. In that day and time, there was no royalty contracts, really. Possibly some of the old-timers had royalty contracts who had a standard quantity of sales. Otherwise, they wouldn't make any money. Because this was during the period, as you know, that radio made terrific inroads into records, and records did not come back until about 1936 when they had the jukeboxes. So you had to be paid a reasonable amount for your services for that one service. And you would generally make more that way in the end than you would if you'd been on a royalty basis, because they didn't sell that many records at that time.
But if a record happened to sell...
Oh, that's something else.
If it did, you wouldn't get any more.
No, you'd get no more.
I see.
But they paid you well.
But at the same time, it'd make you more in demand.
That's true.
Yeah.
Are you ready? Well, if you...
What are we going to do now?
If you've got a royalty from all those records, you, you probably wouldn't be alive now, Smith.
No, I probably wouldn't.
Dinner served.
Lived it up.
Oh, it is.
What's that?
Yes, dinner served.
Well, dinner served. Play, there's play, no more records at the moment, I'll tell you that.
We're right. Louise?
I'll be right back. I'm going.
Smith, looks like we've got some company after this nice dinner we had. Wonder if you'd introduce our company.
Oh, with pleasure. I particularly should like to introduce, first of all, Louise. And we want you to say something about it. Well, she hasn't had a chance to see what we're doing.
I haven't gotten warmed up yet.
You haven't gotten warmed up.
No, so I don't quite know what to say.
By the way,
Mrs. Baker.
That's the title of your first record, isn't it? Louise? Or
one of
them.
Oh, did you make Louise?
You made Louise.
A la Marie Chevalier.
She. Oui, I mean. I'm sorry. And then we have Mary.
Mrs. Ballou. How do you do?
Well, I'm delighted to be here and to hear about the record business. I didn't know it was so tremendous.
I didn't either. If they fool me, I promise you.
Well, Smith, we're going to play the girls a record here. It's a vocal with the orchestra accompaniment. And who the orchestra is, you might listen to the record and have some idea. The name of it is My Fate Is in Your Hands, and I'll close my eyes.
Oh, my goodness. What terrific titles. It must be great.
See if you recognize any music.
Yes, I know them all, probably. They're the same ones that we use for solo records.
It's just Smith.
Pleasure Hurrah, trumpet.
You must have been getting big then, because they just put you down as a vocalist, no orchestra, nothing.
Yes, well, this is a solo record for which I received, for your benefit, $1,000 a side. And I made three sides at a sitting.
Royalties, Smith?
No, no royalties.
Let's hear it, Harvey. Some sides here, the same type that we just through playing, that contract you had with OK, I suppose.
Yes.
You made quite a few sides with them.
Yes, indeed I did. Solos, you're talking about.
Yeah. With the studio orchestra coming. Yeah. So we won't, no use giving these titles because the titles are on the record, naturally.
That's right.
And we'll just put all of them on there that we've got here.
Okay. I think that's a good idea.
About 12 sides.
I'm afraid it'll get a little bit tiring because of the slow tempo.
Well, if you get tired, you can take a walk. Mary and I'll sit and listen to them.
Okay.
Delicate moon
over the silent plain. Lighten the dark, show me the answer plain. Here in my breast wakens my heart. When will it rest? Oh, why does it start? Delicate moon, what is this lovely pain for? Oh, how am I to know if it's really love that found its way here? Oh, how am I to know? Will it linger on and leave me there? I dare not guess at this strange happiness. For, oh, how am I to know? Can it be that love has come to stay?
This must have been a possible time in your career.
Well, it was. I didn't even know how much I was making. I didn't care, really. I was just busy working and
collect. Did you have your orchestra at this time, or did
Sure. No, I had the orchestra, too. This was outside of the orchestra work.
Oh, you was busy.
Yeah.
Yeah. How many sides would you use to cut it?
Well, solos were three sides.
Three sides at a time.
At a session, a three-hour session.
Well, these are good, and we enjoy them.
Well, I'm glad.
This old world was just as sad a place for me as could be. I was lonely and blue. This old world then changed to paradise for me, suddenly. Why? Because I met you. Although wealth and power I may never find, still as long as I have you, dear, I don't mind. Through poverty, they
Melatonin?
You're on the air.
Champagne.
I think we recorded this down at Olin's house. Howard, would you like to record it and put it on this tape? Smith? Let's go ahead and put it on here. This is a melatonin, Smith Ballou and his orchestra of the Champagne Waltz.
Yes, and I think we recorded it on a tempo.
Well, it's pretty, and there might be a better copy. Let's put
all
it
right,
on.
All right, fine.
The flip side is Play to Me Gypsy.
Yes, I recall that we recorded this at tempo. We've got it on tape already, but if you wish, we'll put it on this.
Let's put it on again. Smith, here's my panel Troubadour's record on Columbia with Sam Lannon, the director. You probably remember that he directed a many orchestra. Thank you for the coffee, Louise.
Oh, yeah.
We tried to get it.
We tried.
You remember Sam Lannon?
Oh, very well. And I'm playing banjo on this record. I'm not certain.
Well, you probably are, because if I understand right, Sam was a man who liked to save money, and
he would do that.
The title, My Strongest Weakness Is You.
Well, now, wait a minute. If this is the one I'm thinking of, there's a little story back of it. Sam was playing at the, not the Steel Pier, what's the other one in Atlantic City?
I can't.
Oh, don't you know? Next to the Steel Pier. Well, anyway, Sam was playing there. I was playing with him, and we spent one weekend driving to New York to make some records. And whether this is one, I'm not certain that this is the one, but it could be.
You think you played banjo?
Yes, I think I probably did. I probably don't know whether I can tell or not.
Was you playing banjo at Atlantic City with him?
Oh, yes, you bet. Well, the orchestra had Dorsey Brothers, and they had Charlie Jandro, a drummer that killed himself later. They had, the original Memphis Five trumpet player. What's his name? Tell me quick. He was in the band, nevertheless. Quite a fine band, I'll tell you that. Excellent band.
And that all one, Phil Napoli.
Yes, Phil Napoli.
Phil Napoli. Yeah.
This may be it.
What kind of fellow was Sam Lennon to work for?
Wonderful. I liked him very much, and he was quite interested in my career, and he gave me a lot of good information, a lot of good advice, really. I spent a lot of time with him on the beach talking about how I could make more money and what I could do to better myself, and he just gave me a lot of good advice.
He was a good, sound businessman. He was responsible for a lot of recordings. Do you recall this Ipana Troubadours now?
Oh, yeah.
Evidently, there was an Ipana toothpaste radio show, wasn't there?
That's exactly where he carried the name from, that show that he had for quite some time. Now, I wasn't on that show with him. I didn't play with him then.
Evidently, he knew more about music than Ed Kirkby.
Oh, no question about it. He was a good musician. I don't know what instrument he played. Of course, he conducted, and I just don't know what he played. I believe he played the clarinet, though. I'm not sure.
How was Tommy and Jimmy Dorsey along that period?
They were wild as bucks, both of them. And when we went up to New York to do these recordings on that weekend, they spent most of the time smoking marijuana. And I tried it. I thought I might as well try and see what it was like. But it never did anything to me. I didn't know how to use it.
In other words, it didn't send you.
No, it didn't send me at all.
Well, you was lucky.
Yeah. Yeah. That's the story of this record now, if it is the record.
Well, if it's not, it's the same story that other records like it that you made with Sam Lennon.
True.
Let's hear this Ipana Troubadours recording.
Thank you.
Smith, now that you've heard that recording, do you recognize any of the musicians, especially the banjo player?
Well, yeah, I think that was me. It sounded kind of like my little strumming that I did many strums through the years. And I particularly like Tommy's little passage and also Phil Napoleon's.
Did you say
Arthur Shutt on the piano was terrific. Yeah.
I didn't know that he had a drinking problem until you told me down there at Temple.
Oh, yes. He went from worse to worse. You couldn't imagine.
Now, Pat Waller drank a lot, but evidently he could handle his, couldn't he? Or he never was a...
Arthur Shutt was a terrifically emotional person. That's why he played such marvelous piano.
Was he a moody person?
Oh, extremely moody. Extremely moody.
Pat wasn't.
No, anything would go with him.
Yeah,
didn't bother him.
Well, we come to another Ted Wallace recording now on Columbia, which was Ed Kirkby. Do you recall those two sons?
Oh, Sweetheart's Holiday. Yes, I kind of remember that. This might be a trio, I'm not sure. Because he used a trio a lot in which I sang the melody, of course.
Huggable, Kissable, You on the Flip.
Well, I don't really recall.
Let's play them and see. And if it's not you, it was probably Ted Wallace trying to sing. But let's put it on there because it brings back memories all
the time. Yeah, I think I remember Sweetheart's Holiday.
All right, let's play it.